My name is Sal Russell Lovato with the New Jersey Gasoline Convenience Store and Automotive Association. I represent the quintessential small business of America, and that is the gasoline service station, the auto repair shop, and now the gasoline service station, the gasoline station and convenience store. This legislation is going to have a very harmful effect on my members. I also spent 23 years as one of my members owning my own gasoline service station. And I think back to the days when I was in the business, and I wonder how I would have survived some of the difficult times if I was forced to pay my employees more at a time when I couldn't. And ultimately, I closed my doors because I couldn't pay the bills. But many of my members are in the exact same situation today and will always be in that situation. We have good times and we have bad times. Like any other small business, we go through times of profit, we go through times of not profit. One of the things that I'd like to reiterate that was mentioned on a previous panel is we are completely sympathetic to the plight of employees and the difficulties that they face. And I believe that this committee and the sponsors of this legislation have very good intentions. Who wouldn't want all people to be prosperous and do well? However, this legislation is very good at saying what to do. It does not say how to do it. Where does the money come from to pay the additional wages? When this legislation is put together, are legislators thinking that small business owners should just take it out of excess profits, or should it be taken from just profits? Or should it be taken from other expenses? If so, what are those expenses? How does the small business owner make the decisions? And what happens when a small business owner is deciding between paying his electric bill, the mortgage or the rent, the insurance or the wages? That is very similar to the cases that were presented earlier when workers are presented with the dilemma of, do I pay the electric bill, the gas bill, or the rent, etc. And it was alluded to that many employees must work two and three jobs to make ends meet. Small business owners, particularly those in the industry that I'm representing, they don't have two or three jobs. They don't need two or three jobs. They just work one job that totals two or three jobs. Many of my members work 18-hour days. I can remember many years where I did that myself. I came home, my mother was crying because I put in so much time. And I wasn't making a profit. And if somebody told me I had to pay more wages, what would I have done? And my members are faced with that now. And I am really confused by the assumption that small business owners do not desire to pay higher wages to their employees, and that the assumption is there that they are able to and they just don't. And that is wrong. That is an absolute fallacy. The other thing, particularly in our industry, and I think it's very, very important for legislators to understand this, we hire many part-timers. We hire students. We hire high school kids. We hire people that supplement another job. We don't hire people that make a career of pumping gas. And those employees that we hire many times are not worth the minimum wage that we pay them now. We have high turnover because we have to let them go. They don't have the skills, simple math and reading skills to do a job like pumping gas. They come to us poorly prepared, irresponsible, and yet we pay them minimum wage. And if we are in a situation where we are forced to pay those workers that have those skills and that lack of responsibility and are those that poor of an employee, if we're forced to pay them higher wages, how do we do it? I'd like to just point something out that you have to be familiar with. When you go into a gas station, it is not uncommon to see an orange cone blocking pumps. Those cones represent an employee that we'd already like to have, but don't. And we don't have them because we can't afford them. And I'm suggesting to you that you are going to make this more difficult for my employees, and that the orange cone is the how. When I asked earlier, how do we do this? Is the legislature expecting us to take this from profits, or is excess profits? Where does it come from? I'm suggesting to you that one of the methods is the orange cone. I have with me several of my members that would like to explain to you how this affects them, because they're the guys with the boots on the ground. I have Joe Acello, and I have Jeff O'Connor, and they'll both introduce themselves.